Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
Jay, I thought when I first saw that you had a book out, I thought it was going to be like a self-help thing or something like that, like a lot of coaches do. This is actually a novel. This is called Hot Seat, A Year Inside College Football's Pressure Cooker. I thought it might be biographical. I had no idea. This is actually a novel that you've written. Where'd you get the idea? Take me through this.
Well, after coaching for 22 years in college football, there's a lot of stories, a lot of things you see. And, you know, occasionally I talk with friends and I tell them some recruiting stories or what it's like coaching, and they couldn't believe some of it. They said, you ought to write a book about it. And I started to write the book, and I went, I better make this a novel because I've got to change some names to protect the innocent, the not-so-innocent, and the flat-out guilty. So it really starts out with the head coach at Ohio State. It's fiction. The head coach at Ohio State loses a bowl game, and the president tells him you got 1 year to win. And it takes you through what that year is like and all the things. I mean, you know it's fiction because before the book starts, they lost to Michigan. So you know it's complete fiction.
Well done.
It's drawing some blood right there from the Wolverine fans, I'm sure. But it takes you through a year of what that is all like, and the stories in it are very, very real.
Well, Jay, it's fascinating that you have so many experiences to draw upon for a book like this. You're a guy, people realize maybe here, that you coached for as long as you did. Well decorated. You know the game inside and out. So when it comes to that, what would you say, state of college football right now? I know this year is such a bizarre year, but you're seeing so much move in the way of, you know, likeness, players eventually getting some money, a little more for what they're worth. Where do you think the state of college football is right now?
I think it's going to require really, really good leadership on a national level from the NCAA. I don't see that right now, quite frankly. I think guys are going to start making money off their name, image, and likeness. But I also think that players are going to start to say, hey, you're making X million dollars on me. A guy like Joe Burrow, how many times do you see his face on commercials for the college football playoff last year? Then guys are going to start to say, wait a minute, you're using us to promote these games. The Ohio State-Michigan game last year generated $17 million in ad revenue for Fox. So I think you're going to see some revenue sharing beyond just the name, image, likeness stuff. I think it's coming. Now, it may not be tomorrow or the next day, but it's coming.
Jay Paterno joining us on the show. Jay, well, going back to the book here, now you said you had to protect some names to protect the innocent there. Has there been a situation? I can't see Ohio State playing in a poor bowl game, so I haven't read the book, so I don't know. Like, you only get a year after losing to Ohio State to keep your job. Has that actually happened? I mean, it's Ohio State, for crying out loud here. Do you just demand a national championship every single year?
Well, I think the thing about Ohio State is, and I put this in the intro, is I don't think there is a tougher job in America than Ohio State, because the entire state is, you know, Ohio State football, and I used to recruit there, so I was 17 years traveling around the state of Ohio, listening to sports talk radio and all that kind of stuff, and I don't think there was a day I was ever in Ohio, whether it was in May, June, October, where people weren't calling in talking about the Ohio State Buckeyes. And if you look at the recent history, you know, in my lifetime now, I'm 52 years old, there really hasn't been an Ohio State coach that walked away from that job unscathed. Urban Meyer's about as close as he gets, but even he had some things. And Urban's a good friend, so I don't say that with any disrespect to him. I mean, in fact, Urban
read... it's one of the quotes on the book. Yeah,
Urban read one of the early drafts of the book, and I said, what do you think? Because I wanted to get some people's feedback. And the quote he gave me was, this is an awesome insight into that life, because it takes you into the head coach's home and the pressures he's dealing with and his wife's dealing with and how hard that is and the challenges to your integrity every day. You know, a recruit asks for $150,000. What do you do? You know, if I get this recruit, that makes it easier for me. But, you know, there are times where coaches know they've got a year and they got to win, and it happens.
Jay Paterno joining us on the hotline. So Penn State joins the Big Ten in 1993, and we're curious from just an Ohio State perspective, it seems like Penn State, at least on the football field, has turned in the actual rivalry with Penn State when you see all the big-time, prime-time matchups with all the fans and the whiteouts. We respect Penn State a little more than Ohio State over the years. What do Penn State fans think about Ohio State in terms of a rivalry?
Oh, I think Penn State fans would like Ohio State to view us with the same kind of hatred they view the team up north or Michigan or whatever you're allowed to call them. I have friends of mine that say, well, you know, they hate us. I said, guys, listen, trust me. They don't hate anybody like they hate Michigan. There's no countdown clock in the Ohio. And I've been out to Ohio State for spring practice since I've been out of coaching when Urban was there. And Larry Johnson's on the staff at Ohio State, and I've worked with him for 16 years at Penn State. So I know a little bit about it. But the games have been very tight and very well contested. I mean, you know, Penn State fans are still uptight about the comebacks those 2 years, and you know, it's become the game on the schedule for Penn State fans.
Okay, Jay, I didn't realize. I knew you were at Penn State for a long time, but I didn't know where the timeline added up. So you were, I take it you recruited 92.3 the Fan's very own Dustin Fox.
Oh yeah, we tried.
Because he tells
his older brother Derek. Tom Bradley recruited Dustin because he had coached. Tom Bradley is now the secondary coach with the Steelers, but he was our defense coordinator for a long time. And he coached his older brother, Derek, who we got. And I remember when Derek Fox came to Penn State, it was like his family, it was really interesting because, you know, uncles and relatives and all these, how could you not go to Ohio State? So when Dustin came around, we thought we had a shot, but you know, ultimately the hometown pool, the home state pool kind of kept them there.
Okay, so because Dustin tells a story, and he actually does a pretty good impression of Joe Paterno when he called your dad and told him that he was going to go to Ohio State. What did you say about Dustin when you found out that he was going to go to Ohio State? I want to know your first reaction, Jay.
I wasn't shocked. I mean, you know, you know you're dealing with a lot of tradition. It's hard. And look, Jim Tressel made it very, very difficult to get into Ohio and get a lot of players. I mean, you look at Michigan kind of falling off a little bit. Some of that is directly correlated to the fact that Ohio State's done an unbelievable job keeping those kids in state. Whereas, you know, for many, many years, Michigan was picking those guys off. But, I mean, every kid I ever recruited in Northeast Ohio or Central Ohio, wherever it was the same four schools most of the time. It was Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan, and Notre Dame. And we all beat each other up.
Just say what you want to say. A man of no loyalty that Dustin would turn his back on the great Joe Paterno.
Yeah, I
mean, let's
I really
be honest
you
here.
To cuss him.
No, I
wanted Dustin. You to cuss him.
And you know what? And every time we played him, you know, Tom Bradley, we talked to him. I talked a little bit in pregame. But, you know, once that whistle blew, he was the enemy.
It was time to target him. That's exactly what you did. Let's be honest.
You know, tell him I said this. The scheme they were in, they had him in the boundary a bunch. And so he was playing low level, not as much deep stuff, whereas Ohio State's playing so much more man-to-man now. So they protected him.
Call him up right now. Go! Yeah.
We couldn't get by him, though, but they protected him, and he beat us.
That's great. All right, Jay Paterno joining us on the hotline. I do want to ask you about Larry Johnson, because he was somebody who is now we know what an important coach and recruiter he was at Penn State. Then he goes to Ohio State. How can a coach switch allegiance like that, especially when his son, well, we don't have to get into his son and his, you know, conspiracy theories, but why his dad ends up going from one school to another in the conference. Isn't that something that is it makes him persona non grata?
No. Larry Johnson is really well respected and loved here at Penn State. And, you know, every year, 364 days a year, Penn Staters will tell you they love Larry and what he did here and what he was able to do with defensive line. And I'll say this, I don't think he's a better defensive line coach in the country when it comes to technique and getting guys ready. And I saw that up close for 16 years. But, you know, when James Franklin came in, there was no, you know, he made it pretty clear that, you know, that Larry was not going to be coaching for him, or I don't know what the conversation was, but I don't know if Larry had an option to stay here or not. I wish he had, and maybe he did. But I think, you know, I went out to Ohio State for spring practice. It was 2 years ago when Urban was still there, and just got a kick out of watching Larry with his drills and the guys he coaches. And he's got a young group this year. I think you know, there's a little bit of a challenge because he's got, you know, you keep losing all his guys to the pros. So I think that we'll see what kind of pass rush they're able to generate Saturday night. I think that's going to be key to the game.
Yeah, I'm sure everybody in the Big Ten feels really bad they don't have a Bosa or a Chase Young anymore.
Oh, no one feels bad for them.
Jay Paterno joining us on the hotline. All right, I got to ask this. As we get further away from all the emotion of the scandal from a few years back, do you think more perspective has helped your father's memory when people talk about Penn State and what happened there?
Oh, there's any question. And I mean, you know, initially, and we see this all the time, you know, the initial reporting of things is often very, very wrong. And it was as it related to my dad's role in that whole thing. I mean, you know, when the only report he ever received, he reported it. And so, I mean, what else you want somebody to do? I mean, that's the law. In fact, he was cleared by everybody who investigated it and by all the law enforcement who looked at all the evidence. So, I mean, in the initial reporting, there was a narrative that took hold that it's going to take some time for it finally for people to see the truth. The truth takes a while to emerge. And I think that's coming. I think people more and more are starting to realize, you know, this was about one person doing something and committing crimes. There was no cover-up here. There was no attempt to hide it. We just didn't, you know, I worked with Jerry Sandusky for a number of years. I had no clue. I mean, really had no clue. So, I mean, the legacy will come back, and people start to realize that over time. And, you know, I mean, if you look at Woody Hayes, obviously a very different situation. I mean, he is revered, and as he should be.
Well, so what do we think, you know, years from now, a seminal figure at a university? And I don't think many people anywhere, whether it's academia, sports, on a college campus, I don't know anybody that has that connection with a school to the extent that your father did in such a legendary fashion, could then have this complicated now history because of what happened. So where do we go with that? And what is that story to be told 20 years from now, 50 years from now? What do we do with the statue even? We were wondering about something like that.
Well, my dad was never a fan of the statue to begin with. He said, I don't know why anybody would want to look at me. It's not like I look like Michelangelo's David or anything. So, I mean, the statue is a whole other thing, not to make light of it. But I think over time people will realize, you know, I think the biggest thing that came out of this to me, which was a negative, was the belief that those types of crimes are always occurring in situations like that, and there's always some sort of cover-up protecting those people, when the fact of the matter is those types of crimes are very, you know, the people that commit them go to great lengths to conceal what they're doing, as well as they happen in communities. There are people on every street in every community in America doing these same things. And if we think it only happens, whether it's a Catholic church or whether it's a university, you know, Ohio State's going through their own thing now with them, and Michigan's got their own thing going on, and Michigan State with Larry Nassar. That's not the only place these things happen. And I think that's probably a dangerous lesson to come out of this, as well as a guy that reported it could then be vilified as somehow connected to it. You don't want to scare people from reporting these things. But I think over time people will start to realize that, you know, Joe Paterno did everything he could to leave Penn State a better place than when he found it. You know, before that season, he had decided he was going to retire anyway. And there was a number of people on the list of potential coaches that they had discussions with, and I will take that to my grave, because he didn't really want anyone to know, because some of them are still coaching, some of them not. But I think he tried to do what was right for Penn State. And, you know, if it didn't come out right, you still have to judge people by their intent in life, not necessarily the outcome.
Did your dad ever have any other offers that he considered seriously taking to leave Penn State and coach somewhere else?
Well, in 1972, he was offered the biggest contract in pro sports history, as well as about 8% of the team, to go to New England to take over the Patriots. And he took the job, and in the middle of the night, my mom was crying, and he woke up and turned the job down, called up the owner and said, "I can't do it." And I look at the value of the Patriots now, and I go, 8% of $2 billion is a pretty good chunk of money. So I go, well, maybe I think he made the right call, but I'm not sure sometimes.
Is that like the infamous story, Hulk Hogan? Wasn't he supposed to get the Foreman grill and he didn't answer his phone?
Oh, my God.
No, I don't know about that, but my dad did take the job. And the funny thing is, the next day he felt bad because he said, "I guess I can be bought." And I was 4 years old at the time, so I was not aware of it. But I had gone through his files and stuff and looked at some of the details of the deal, and I went, "Wow."
Kept the details of the deal.
You maybe should have taken that one.
So was there any time, like, because there were times when your father got a little bit older, and there were people going, you know, maybe did he ever did he ever get out the details and go, you know, these people, if I would have taken this job, where would Penn State have been right now? Like, did he ever think about anything like that?
No, he never spent a lot of time looking back. I mean, we could finish the season winning the Big Ten, and he'd immediately, January 3rd, we're sitting there, and he's saying, "Hey, now look, 2 years from now, and when we go out and recruit, we're going to need this, this, and this." He was always thinking 2 years ahead in the recruiting process. He was immediately on the next thing. And that's why he kept going so long, because every morning he woke up, put his feet on the ground, and had the next challenge in front of him. And so he just never once really sat back and looked at it. And he said, "I got stuff to do."
The book is called Hot Seat, A Year Inside College Football Pressure Cooker. It's probably available. I imagine it's available on Amazon and everywhere else. Yeah, it's available on Amazon there. So, yeah, I mean, you know, books
it's
are available.
It's on Amazon, and then on my website is jvpaterno.com.
Final question, real quick. If that call that happened on Saturday night, if that's at Happy Valley, is that two-point conversion overturned?
I don't know, but I'll tell you what. It looked to me, and I know Penn Staters will hate me for saying this, the tip of that ball did cross the line, I hate to say, before he landed. And you know what? Wow. It was an unbelievable effort. And there are 52 plays in that game that should have prevented from even getting there on both sides. I mean, Indiana could have put the game away. Penn State should have won it. But you know what? You got to tip their hat to them. They showed some big stones and went for two to win the game, and the kid made an unbelievable effort, and it's hard to overturn that.
The book, Hot Seat, A Year Inside College Football's Pressure Cooker, Jay Paterno. Jay, we thank you for the time.
Thanks, guys. Have a great one.
You too. Jay Paterno on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. A couple of thoughts on that when we come back. And 21 days for COVID is excessive, but it's probably the right thing for the Big Ten. It's Ken Carmen with Anthony Lima, live on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.